What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. How do you define success? Is it money and power or having a sense of purpose? Where does failure fit into the equation? Is too much pressure placed upon getting good grades and doing well on standardized tests or excelling in extracurriculars or getting into an elite college? And this pressure to succeed brings on major stress. Stress is a feeling that's created when we react to particular events. Stress can prepare us to meet the challenge. It can keep us on our toes. Students struggle with academic demands, parents, and internal and external pressures. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome students from the IB program. I welcome Tarek McNeely James. He's a junior. He's into swimming and soccer and traveling and cars. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm fine, and happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Today is Tarek's birthday. Joshua Howard, he is also a junior, and he enjoys reading and visiting with family and watching movies.
Hello. It's nice to meet you all.
Blessing Kimbo. Blessing is a junior. We have the junior contingency here today. Okay. She enjoys running and soccer and spending time with family.
Hi.
And Tatiana Fanina, junior, and she is into history and art.
Good evening.
Well, I'm glad to have you all here. How do you define success? What is success to you? And I'll just start with you, Joshua, and we'll go around the table.
Success to me, I think no matter what you say, the end goal of it all is to find happiness. Okay. No matter what you do, it's just to find happiness. Whether you find happiness through money, friendship, love, whatever.
But it's what makes you feel happy.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, would you agree with him, Tatiana, or where do you sit on this issue? When you think about success, what does that mean to you, and how do you define it?
I think happiness is, of course, important, but true success is achievement of your goals. If all you want to do is achieve happiness, it's all well and good, but it's not going to last unless you have money and a home, family, things to support that happiness.
Okay. All right. And both of you have raised some good issues that we'll come back and explore. Blessing.
I agree with Tatiana. I feel like success is setting a goal, and then when you accomplish it, it makes you happy, but at the same time, there's rewards to it, okay. Like money.
Okay. So money is important, what I hear you all
yes.
say. Tarek, where do you sit?
I agree with Blessing, and that success is just something that with goals and happiness and all that stuff. Like, if you're happy in life and you're doing what you want to do and you're just going above and beyond your goals and all that stuff, then that's success. It's an internal thing.
But, you know, the thing is, and I agree with you, a big issue is, you know, you talk about money, and people can have money, but does that make them happy? Because if we add happy into it, does money make you happy?
It depends.
I mean, it might make some, you know.
It depends on the person, really. Like, if a person just wants a giant house and a giant boat, then, of course, money's going to make them happy. Mm-hmm. But if someone wants, like, a family and kids and all that stuff, of course you need money to do that. But it's not the actual money that's making you happy. It's the concept of you having kids and a family that makes you happy.
How important is success to you all?
Well, I think everyone strives for success. From the day we were born, we're put in the Gerbers. And we go through school being told, you got to do this, you got to get the best grades, you got to get into the best school. But honestly, to me, I think as long as you're happy with your life and you're not making other people suffer, well, I think you've succeeded at something.
And you know, research indicates that happiness is really very, very important, okay? Because you can have a lot of superficial types of things, materialistic things, and not be happy with them. And they've done a lot of research out at Stanford and looking at, you know, pressure to succeed. And one of the things they noted is that money, yes, is important, but if you're not happy with what you're doing, then it doesn't equal out. There's a problem. Yeah, go right ahead. Feel free.
I feel like in today's society, you need money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you want a family and you want a home for them, you need to have a job in order to, like, pay bills and go out for dinner. So I'm not saying, like, money, like, excessive amounts of money.
Okay.
I'm saying, like, money to, like, give, sustain.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That makes a lot of sense. How important is success to you? I mean,
I think I'm like, I think it's very important to me because considering the fact that what I want to do when I grow up and all that stuff, and my parents, like from what Josh was saying, like from day one, I've been pushed to like succeed and do good and stuff. And I think for most people, like, it could be cultural difference. It could be a lot of things that vary the pressure of success on different people. But for me, my parents always wanted better for me, so they pushed me to do better in school and, like, eventually go off to college and do whatever I want.
Okay.
Success is important to me. It's something I want to succeed in. It's something I want to do. Like, yes, my parents, like, have raised me with, like, the thought of success in my mind. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, I want to succeed. And with that, I feel like if I want to do it, then I'm going to do it. Not, like, with the pressure of everyone else on my shoulders.
Good point. So what you're saying is that your success is internal.
Yes.
I mean, it's not external. You don't have the environment of those around you that are pushing you to be successful. You want to be successful because that's something that was within you.
Yes.
What about you, Tatiana?
I think happiness itself is not a goal. You cannot just reach happiness in a void. You need to accomplish things, and those things will give you happiness and satisfaction. So to not be successful is, in its definition, to not be happy, to not accomplish things, not reach your goals. So, of course, success is important to me because what will I do if I don't succeed? Sit there and feel sorry for myself and lament what could have been.
When we talk about success, where does the pressure come from? Now, I know you've already said, Blessing, that yes, your parents have created that milieu. They put you in that environment so that you can at least be as successful as possible.
Yeah.
But it's really coming from you.
Yes.
Where does the pressure come from, the rest of you? Okay. I know some of you have identified parents, so
I think it's sometimes it could be internal, like Blessing was saying, like our parents kind of like jumpstart you to be successful, but then after that, and you think of your goals that you want to do, like if you want to get into Harvard, then you're going to pressure yourself in school, not pressure yourself, but like push yourself in school to succeed in your academics and stuff so you can complete your goals. But if my goals were to just like stay at home and stay in my parents' basement, then I wouldn't have any pressure at all. I just do that no matter what.
Right. What about pressure with you, Tatiana?
I think the pressure comes mostly from fear, because there is fear of consequence. If you fail, both from your parents immediately, you'll get them grounded, you'll lose something, and more of a long-term fear, because if you fail in, say, the IB program, you get kicked out, you're not going to graduate high school because that's how the system is set up. And eventually you might not get into the college and get the education you want, which will impact your ability to find a job, and as a result, ruin the rest of your life. Now, this may be true, this may not be true, but this is the belief that we have been instilled with. So it's almost subconscious at this point.
Okay.
So yeah, going off of what Tatiana said, when you look around Tallahassee, especially around the homeless shelters, you see many homeless people, and when you think about it, a lot of what we go through is to not get to the lower end of the spectrum of being homeless, being poor. We don't want to be in poverty because I think most of us, we're used to at least some excess in our lives, so to think that it might be taken away if we don't get it right, well, it keeps you up at night sometimes.
What is it in our culture that seems to place a high premium on the superficial kind of value of material possessions? Because we know that that is all through our culture. It's very important to have these material possessions. So when you think about our culture, what is it that, and regardless of whatever subculture you may be in, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, where does it come from? Because I think almost everybody has a touch of it. Okay.
It's hard to pinpoint exactly where it comes from. I think it's like just passed down by generations, but it's really difficult to pinpoint exactly where it comes from. Maybe from a various different like amounts of things, but it's hard to pinpoint exactly what it is.
Okay. Like with American being like the whole melting pot, there's people trying to succeed, trying to like be better than what their parents came from, and so like with them competing and trying to get into colleges, there's other people trying to get into colleges too, so they have to work just as hard as them, so it just becomes this whole competition thing, and we just
I think for like similar to what Blessing said, it's how our culture operates in terms of getting jobs and getting money. It's sort of like a race, if you think about it. It's a race to get first place, get the highest times. But sometimes you get have disadvantages and advantages. So the race isn't exactly
fair.
Right.
Material possessions are a basically unit of measurement for success. There are, let's say, three units that are most commonly used. There's material possessions, there's power and influence, and there is knowledge. Knowledge takes a lot of work to attain, and many people simply do not have the opportunity or the inherent ability to attain what they want. Power and influence is a bit more limited to certain people in certain situations. So material goods is the most universal currency of success.
I want you to hold your thoughts. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen, and this hour we are exploring the pressure to succeed. Right before we went on break, Tatiana, you were talking about how success was measured, and I wanted to get from the other panelists how they see success as being measured. Is it power and money and knowledge and the things that Tatiana had said, or do you have something else that you might add or look at? Joshua.
I know for at least since the Industrial Revolution, a lot of emphasis has been put in material goods, since that's how everyone thrived. If you didn't have the most material goods, you were the worker who was paying pennies a day, or just the poor man who was on the street just trying to survive for another day.
I think I agree with what Tatiana was saying about the knowledge and the materials. That back what I was saying before, it depends on the person. If you're the type of person who defines success as having a big house and a nice car, and you reach that goal, then for you that's success. But then again, there's other people who dream about getting like a doctorate's degree and whatever they want, and then that's viewed as success. But society, most of society, sees success as like you're what you have in possession, like, but like possession as in like houses, like a big house or a car. But then again, another possession that you could have is a doctorate's degree that some people believe in, and it just depends on the person.
Okay.
I agree with Tatiana about success being measured by materials. Like in high school, you see a bunch of people when someone gets a license and then they get a car, and then everyone else is so envious of them, like, mm-hmm. oh, you have a car. And it's just like, it's the materials that we look at, but I feel like there's something much deeper than that.
Okay. All right, great. What about, we talk about success, but what about failure? Where does that fit? Because there's going to be some failures. You're not going to be successful at everything you do. Okay. So where does failure fit in this equation?
I think failure, like, it's kind of like, I would say, like, the dark side almost. Mm-hmm. But, like, with the IB, they teach us that, like, failure is not academically, but, like, with CAS and all that mm-hmm. stuff. It's like CAS plans, like, for failure is acceptable, but as long as you learn from it. So,
exactly.
In ways, failure fits in with success, because if you fail at it again, at something, and you try it again, you shouldn't fail it again, because you learn from it and you learn from experience.
Good point.
I think it's a bit odd that we treat both failure and success as final destination, something that will, once you reach it, be permanent or at least long-lasting.
Mm-hmm.
You can achieve success and you can be happy, then you can lose it and fail miserably. And some people remain in this state of failure, and others manage to learn from this and pull themselves out and achieve success again. And it mm-hmm. it can last, or it can
so
be...
So it's transitory.
Exactly. Yeah, it can, right. Your whole life you can be alternating, failing, and succeeding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're generally expected to fail at least some point, because if you don't fail, they're assuming you have cheated somehow, because we're expected as humans to fail every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
However, whenever we do fail, we're generally either reprimanded or... there are certain consequences to failure, even if it's through a mistake or an oversight.
Okay.
Yeah, failure is like a high and a low. Like, you can't have a low without a high, and you can't have a, like, and vice versa, the same way, other way around. So, like, if you always, like Joshua was saying, if you always succeed and you never experience failure, then it's like, if when you do fail, it's going to be like a whole new thing to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, you all are in the IB program. Do you feel a lot of pressure to succeed academically?
Absolutely. Because that's the expectation. To enter the IB program, you have to be intelligent. And once you're in an IB program, if you suddenly lose this intelligence, you're a fool. You should not be there. There's basically a culture of shame.
Mm-hmm.
If you have poor grades, nobody says it. Nobody will... you know, point fingers at you in the hall and say, oh, look at that idiot.
But they think it, huh?
But they think it, and you can feel it, and you think it about yourself. Because we're expected to have A's, maybe B's if, you know, mm-hmm. you're struggling a bit. But a C or a D? Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how I agree with her. Because there are some people that they get into IB and then don't do well. And, like, they're, as like, you have to be kicked out and put into, like, I guess the general society of school.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone, like she was saying, everyone thinks it, but no one says it verbally. Like, you see, like, I see a guy begging for money on the side of the street. No one says anything about him, but you know that he is in a position of, well, it from your point of view, a failure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It almost feels sort of segregated at Rickards in a way. I mean, you always hear people talk about either the IB students or the general students. And generally, whenever I hear it, it's sort of using a derogatory term for both sides. For some reason, we, despite being at the same school, it's like we're living on two different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely a sense of spite toward one another. If not outright spite, but just a mild mm-hmm. undertone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're more, I guess, socially apt than some
yes.
of us are. They're generally considered stronger, more free, more willing to take risks, more willing to live their lives. We're the ones cooped up in our shells, studying, reading books, worrying about test grades, and we deride each other for those facts. I guess because partially we want to have what the other has,
mm-hmm.
and we're seeking for ways to console ourselves.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with what she was saying, and I'm like, when we walk through the hallways, we mix together, like, it's like a social thing that you can go through the hallways and kind of like see who's an IB and who's not, but like nobody says anything about it. It's just there, and it's like an underlying, like a mild underlying cause, but no one actually says anything about it, and we just kind of like go our separate ways. And some, I won't say any name. Well,
you don't have to say any names.
Yeah, yeah. But some of our teachers actually put it as like, because there are students at Rickers that are less, I won't say intelligent or smart, but
they're not interested in learning.
Yeah, they're not interested in learning, and they're way more respectful. Like, you can tell when you're walking into an IB class versus a general class, and that's how most people separate.
What's the difference?
Well, generally, from what I've heard from my teachers, it's generally the general classes tend to be louder and more disruptive. They don't get as much work done per day in class period.
I wonder how much of that has to do with expectation.
Because quite a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, go right ahead.
Because they're, in Rickards especially, nobody expects much of them. We've all come to the agreement that, well, you're in general, so if you fail, it's fine. You fail. Mm-hmm. I mean, we already expect.
Mm-hmm.
And not for everybody, of course.
I know.
I don't want to sound.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we're not trying to sound like me, but there are some kids that are really, really, really bright that are in general, but they just don't want to deal with the work. And I interact with those types of people.
Right. And then also, and I'll get with you, Blessing, but also IB has a reputation of, oh, those IB kids, they can't do anything. All they do is study. And, you know, I mean, it doesn't. For maybe the general population, it doesn't have a real positive. It's like you don't have a life, which I know is not true.
Because
I had daughters that were in IB.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
And they had plenty of
life. It's like
a
running joke.
Right.
Yeah,
program.
It's just kind of like an excuse almost,
right.
In a way.
Right. Blessing, yes, I know what you wanted to say.
They're talking about how, like, I don't know, separating, like, general and IB. I don't do that personally because I'm friends with, like, everyone. Oh. And I run track, and there are not a lot of IB kids in track. And I don't really, like, feel like I'm different from them. It's just that during the school day, I'm, like, in IB classes with, like, my IB friends. And then after school, I'm with them. And, like, when I'm walking through the hallway, it's, like, I can say hi to them, and I don't feel like they're any different from me. I don't, like, separate them as the general group. I separate them as my friends or not my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree with Blessing because when I was on the swim team, not everybody on the swim team was in IB, so it's like you just have the time to interact. But then again, there are some – basically what she was saying, your friends are not your friends, and I usually associate with people that are, like, more geared towards success and wanting to learn and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that may be one of the main reasons why there's such a divide between them. Because I know for a fact that probably most IB kids don't have many general friends. So if you're not my friend, you're
And it's probably
enemy.
Because just the way the program is structured and you really don't have that opportunity. Because what I hear Blessing saying and Tarek saying is, yes, they had friends who were in general, but it was because they were outside of IB when they made these friends. Right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you stay within the IB program, you're not going to interact with anyone. Yeah, Blessing, go right ahead.
IB teaches us to be open-minded and, like, explore the world. So, like, and then they have we have CAS where we're supposed to go out into the community and socialize with people. So I feel like they give us a chance to be, like, around both. It's just, it depends on the student to make the choice on where they want to, like, socialize with.
Mm-hmm. As far as IB, do you feel like there is, well, I know you do, well, you said this, there's a lot of pressure to succeed academically. I mean, because that's what it is about, right?
Yes.
And from that has to come some stress.
Mm-hmm.
Has to come stress. And, you know, we can't talk about being successful without talking about stress, because stress is a part of it. And it's a part of life that we all experience. Some experience it more than others. But stress refers to just daily changes and daily pressures, the daily hassles of going to school, dealing with parents, dealing with friends. Stressors are the actual circumstances or events that threaten our functioning, that threaten or tax us. And so when I talk about stress, what comes to your mind when I say stress? What does stress represent to each one of you?
I think about especially when you say stress, I think of certain classes and the homework and the and in the IB, it's the work isn't like I wouldn't say really extremely difficult, but it's sometimes challenging, and it's not really the difficulty of the work, it's the volume of the work that you have to do. And they expect you to do everything correctly and understanding everything, and in the classrooms they move fast and keep going.
Okay.
I'll say this outright. I'm a bit of a procrastinator, but honestly, I just want to enjoy my time in high school because it's going to reflect on the rest of my life, more likely. So I think a lot of stress may also come from just trying to juggle joy and actually getting your work done. So, because I can tell you one thing, I've drunk more coffee now than I have.
I agree with Josh. It's like it's sometimes I procrastinate. I do. I admit it. And I'll go home and instead of doing my homework, I may watch Netflix or sit down and maybe go to sleep for a while.
All work and no play is not healthy. So come on.
So eventually, we sit down and we get to it eventually. But
you wouldn't be an IB. You're doing something right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. So.
And so and I don't think it's not a part. It's on the teacher's part, but again, it's not because they understand how much work they're giving us, and they don't. Even some of our teachers say that they don't take work home and they only do it at school. So I'm like, why don't you think that for us? Why can't we just do work at school and we have the rest of the day off? But some teachers are hardworking and do work at home and stuff. And our teachers, I personally believe that our teachers need to be more mindful that we have lives outside of school and we have brothers and sisters and moms.
Families.
We're humans. We're not robots that just go home and sit down and do work every day. And that's what most people think, but it's really not the case.
Okay. I didn't hear from either one of the young women here about stress. Tatiana.
I think stress is mostly a lack of control and feeling of helplessness. Because if I have a lot of work, but I know that I can do it and I have sufficient time to do it, I don't have time to be stressed. I'm going to be working on it. Rather than stress or pressure, it's a challenge that you have to rise up to meet and overcome. However, if I am stuck in traffic and going to be late to school, if I have an assignment I forgot about and suddenly realize, I don't have time to do it, or if there's something I simply can't understand, then it's stress because I sit there and I don't know what to do. I have no options.
Yeah, you have no options or you have no control over it, is what I hear you saying. Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen.
Stress for me is like the stuff outside of school because I prioritize school. But then I also, like, have other things I have to do. And so when I feel like the schoolwork is getting too much and I'm thinking about, like, the activities I'm in, like, sports.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that's good. That's
it's like
healthy.
I have goals that I've set for sport, like, for my track. I have time goals. But then I can't go to practices if my grades are low and I'm trying to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, time management sometimes is what stresses me out.
When we talk about stress, what role do your parents play in the whole stressful situation? I mean, do you find that your parents are sensitive to the demands and the stresses that you encounter on a regular, everyday basis? Because so often, one thing that teens and young folks will say is that my parents don't have a clue You know, they don't understand that this is stressful. I think about a program that we now do every year, and every year I do a 411 team with graduating seniors. I didn't used to when I first started it, but that was like 20-some years ago. But we didn't do that. And one of the students said to me, you need to do a program on graduating seniors because it is very stressful. And I don't think people appreciate how stressful it is, okay? And that I say that to say, do you feel like your parents are in tune with where you are with the stress and the demands of just every day?
Probably not for me, I think. And that's mostly my fault, to be honest, because I'm not the best at communicating what needs to be done. And I especially, if I just don't want to deal with it at that very moment, I just won't mention it to anyone mm-hmm. until I can do it myself. Because I guess a bunch of bad group projects later, I think I'm more of a wanting to do work on my own type of person.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's just faster and more efficient for me.
All right.
I understand fairly well, I think, and they mostly encourage me to overcome the stress and move on.
Okay.
My parents understand it, but then they expect me to be able to deal with it.
Okay.
Yeah, my parents are like blessing. They know that IB is stressful and it's a lot of work, but they still expect me to succeed at it and do what I have to do.
So what I hear you saying, they're sensitive to the stress, but it doesn't make any difference, because
they have stresses of their own, and in comparison, ours seem trivial at best.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, but that's in comparison, and really, when you think about it, are they? And we'll get back to that. You're tuned in to 411 Team, and this hour we are talking about pressure to succeed and the stress that comes from that. We're going to take a brief break, but we will return momentarily. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour I'm talking with students from Rickert's IB program. We are exploring stress and pressure to succeed. Right before we went on break, I was just talking about, you know, what kind are your parents in tune with where you are? If you were going to say something to your parents, to help them be a little bit more in tune and a little more sensitive to your needs, what would you say?
For me, it's kind of hard to tell them about my stress. It's like, because I have a good relationship with my parents and all that stuff, but it's hard to verbally get across that I have a bunch of stress. I wish I can, like, switch shoes for a day and they can see what I'm feeling and how much stress I'm under when I'm go to school.
Okay.
My parents, they know when I'm stressed because I'm not myself. And if I was to, like, let them know what I'm going through, I would just, like, yeah, like Tarek, I would just, like, want them to be in my shoes for more than a day, because I feel like if it was just for a day, they would be like, oh, this is easy. Like, for the whole school year, let them go through it, and maybe there would be more understanding.
I would tell my parents not to worry and to allow me to take responsibility for my own actions and overcome my own challenges. I actually have told them this, and they refused because I'm still a child and they want to take care of me. But I'd say to them again and hope they actually respect my wish for once.
Okay. Joshua?
I know for me that I tend to bottle up my stress until I'm alone, and then I release it so I can, one, not bother anyone about it, and two, just to try and find some productive way to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Since I know if I release it at the wrong time, it'll just cause conflict and problems.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. People are nodding their heads.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're a different generation, But so often I hear parents saying, stress, those kids don't have any stress. But I personally think that young folks today, whether they're in the IB program or not, have a lot of stress. Okay? It's a different world, and you just have things coming at you from all different directions. But in talking about stress, you know, stress can be positive and negative, okay? And we've kind of talked about it from the negative viewpoint. But it's positive stress, and I think you alluded to this, Tatiana, that allows us to meet the challenge. It's that stress that allows us to satisfy a need or to master a particular task or something. This stress, however, is negative stress, which, you know, disrupts our lives. It causes depression. It may cause poor health. And it can even result in death. I want to look a little bit more at stress because that's something that, again, all of you encounter. And how does stress impact your daily lives? In other words, what does it cause you? What do you do? Okay?
I think that the way I deal with stress is just to put everything off and give me time, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, do what I want to do. And I think And when I'm done with my me time, like sports, for example, that's my way of getting off of school and forgetting everything. And whatever I'm doing, I'm engaged in what I'm doing, and I just don't think about it. But then again, when I'm done playing my sports, my stress is right back there. It comes right back, and I got to deal with it. And I think that...
But you've had at least that outlet for a little time.
Yeah. And we have to, like, prioritize different things. Like, sometimes... Our stress can be measured by class. Mm-hmm. And if one teacher is putting like a lot of pressure on us to do something, then that'll be the first thing I do. And then it goes down the list like that in order of like stress and pressure that they're putting on us.
Okay.
I like to like put everything off too, but I do it by sleeping. So when I don't get enough sleep, I get headaches and then I get moody and then I'm not like respectful to like my friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't try my hardest in what I'm doing and I don't pay attention in class. So
okay.
Yeah, I generally try to deal with stress by just reading and looking up for information since it forces my brain to do something productive. Except with my luck, it's always with things that have nothing to do with what I actually need to do.
Well, you know, all work. You got to have some downtime.
Yeah.
I mean, what they say, all work or no play kills Jack and Jill. Okay? Okay, so you got to have a little bit of both. Tatiana.
I honestly would not be able to accomplish anything without stress and pressure. Until I am forced to the very edge, I do not do things. I sit there and I waste my time and I just enjoy myself. Until the deadline is literally bearing down upon me, like the seconds are ticking down. And only then, like I've tried to do things before, like with plenty of time, it just does not work. I get distracted, I get off track. Mm-hmm. I need to have stress to keep me focused.
Okay.
I agree with Tatiana. It's like there's different stress levels. And the one I've been talking about is like when I get extremely stressed, which is like once. Mm-hmm. It's been like I haven't experienced like extreme stress. But I feel like stress is also kind of good because it's like it helps you work towards a goal.
Exactly. That's what I was saying when I was saying there's some positive stress. And it's called eustress. But that's a positive stress that helps you meet that challenge. But you brought up something, Blessing, that I wanted to further pursue. And you talked about how sometimes you would have headache or whatever. And I wanted to know if any of you have other physical symptoms. Because sometimes when people are stressed, they might have headaches, they might have backaches, neck aches. They may not be able to sleep. Sometimes when you're stressed, you can see either extreme. You may be able to do nothing but sleep and just sleep all the time, or you may not be able to sleep at all. You may not have any appetite at all, or you may just feel like eating. People are too bad we're not on television because you all are nodding your heads, so I must be hitting something. So I wanted to know, do any of you respond to some of the stress in those kinds of manners?
I think for me, like, if I'm, like, really stressed, like, the night before, if I go to school the next day, that may be, like, not extremely moody, but, like, kind of moody, like, leave me alone right now. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do before this next deadline is coming up. And I don't get, like, headaches or anything like that, but I always tell myself that at least get 4 to 5 hours of sleep every night. That's just...
No matter what. More than that.
Yeah, but most of the time, I get like just that 5 hours. Like sometimes I'll stay up to like 2 a.m. and wake up at 6 and be at school at 7. And it's a lot of stress. It's stuff that sometimes is self-created stress. Like, for example, a Spanish project. We had a month to do it, but I was just off in La La Land until the last week, and I'm like, oh crap, I gotta get this done. I gotta get this turned in the end of the week. And I'm panicking, I'm scrambling, and I create the stress that shouldn't be there.
Okay. Yeah. And I know you said, Buster, you said you have headaches, so you handle it in that way. What about you, Tatiana? I mean, do you have any of those physical kinds?
The only thing I can think of is when I'm very stressed, I have a tendency to tense my jaw. So my jaw muscles will get a bit sore. But other than that, I can't really think of anything significant. But I don't often experience intense emotions. It's just either, I guess I just don't acknowledge them. So I'm not used to any sort of
physical type.
The physical consequences to my stresses, is generally, I would compare it to a mix of stage frights and just a bunch of frustration. It's easier to get me angry if I'm stressed than any other time, except for maybe when I'm annoyed, but other than that.
Okay.
And to me it seems interesting that despite us being IB students, we are surprisingly, a lot of us are procrastinators, which is surprising. I mean, you expect us to work hard every minute of the day, but a lot of us are procrastinators. It's rare for us to do things exactly when they're supposed to be done.
But you might procrastinate, but you get it done.
Yes, we get it.
Yeah, eventually,
see, that,
yeah.
I mean, you know, you think, wow, I've had a whole month, but I wait until, like you were saying, the last week. But at least in that last week, you know how to do what is necessary to accomplish your goal.
And some teachers, they'll give you like 4 or 5 projects at the same time. Like, we have a science class, and she likes to hand out projects in like pairs or triplets and gives them all to you and say, good luck. I want these on this day, and this day. And sometimes you have to work early. Like now, I'm starting to realize like that. Now that we're like actually in IB, we actually have to start working early on things. And I'm like in certain classes, I'm getting stuff done early, so I was like out the way, and I can focus on something different, like that.
Well, I tell you, let me just say this: that all of this, from what I've understood and talked to those who've been in IB, will really be valuable when you get in college. I mean, you know, folks say, hey, when I got to college, it was a breeze, okay? In that, you know, they knew how to organize, they knew how to use their time management, and all of that came from being in IB. So it does have some positive.
IB is like being, trial by fire?
Okay.
That's the phrase. It essentially describes IB.
Exercise, when we look at stress, there are a number of things that people may use to help them in dealing with their stress. And exercise in today's world is a real panacea. Now, I know a couple of you seem to use exercise because you run and you were in the swimming. Did you find that would help you in relieving your stress? And for those of you who weren't in organized sports, do you find that any type of physical exertion helps you in just dealing with your anxieties, your stress, your pressure, any of that? I'll start with you all.
Well, I know I lift weights. I used to do it a lot more a year ago, but I haven't had as much time as I wanted to do it. But when I was weightlifting, I was just very focused. I had one goal. It's to push that weight up a meter and down a meter. again and again and again as much as possible. Well, in terms of reps.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just makes my... It's... I don't know. Most of the time, my mind is just cluttered up with different thoughts, trying to keep them all together. But weightlifting was just very serene for me, at least.
That's it. It's a form of exercise. And that's what they're saying. You know, exercise is a real panacea. What about you, Tatiana?
Yeah, I think physical activity is a very good cure, I mm-hmm. suppose, for stress, at least temporarily. Because mm-hmm. being focused on something physical with tangible, immediate results, you think, I'm going to lift my arm in this way. Your arm moves in the way you want it. Success. It's right. immediate mm-hmm. reward.
Right. Right.
I do horseback riding. Mm-hmm. And it's something that's actually much more involved than most people think. You have to think very hard about each cue you give the horse. It's a lot about communication, knowing exactly what you want and exactly how you ask for it. So it's both a physical and a mental exercise, and it's a very good distractor from whatever may be bothering me.
Okay. All right. As we look at stress, what about some people talk about music? They will play music, and they find music is very helpful in helping them to cope with stress. Or, you know, some may find their religion. So are there other things that you use that aid you in dealing with the pressures of the IB program and the pressures and the stresses of just life? You find that music plays a role, or religion plays a role, or anything that we have not identified plays a role in helping you to cope.
Yeah, I think that music definitely plays a big role in dealing with my stress, because it's like when I listen to music, it's almost like I'm in a dream, like I'm in a state of suspense, and I don't think about anything else, and I just think about me, and like it just feels like dreaming to me when I listen to music and music that I like.
Okay.
When I surround myself with other people, and it's like, it's good for me because I'm thinking about them and I'm enjoying like my time together with them, and it takes my mind off stress. So like when I spend time with my brothers, we like to mess around with each other, and it's like an escape from like mm-hmm. school, and I like it.
Okay.
I find that doing something unusual for me is a good way to get away from stress, just going a place I've never been before, doing a thing I normally wouldn't do. I remember there was one time I was having like an argument with my parent, something very silly, and I took an old tube of toothpaste and smeared it all over my mirror and just kind of drew patterns with toothpaste in a mirror,
mm-hmm.
and that was very cathartic.
Okay.
So,
yeah. As a Roman Catholic, I... You know, often we on a weekly basis go to church, like most Christians,
mm-hmm.
and it's also just serene to me, since unlike some other masses, they wouldn't call it that, just preaching
mm-hmm.
of other churches. Okay. For Catholic, it's very orderly. It's very structured in comparison. I don't know. It gives me a sort of guideline of what I need to do during the Mass. This is what I do, and this is how I do it. And then I listen to the sermon, and I get some moral lesson each time.
Okay.
So it's very... I don't know. It gives me some structure.
Okay. All right. And whatever works, because it's different strokes for different folks, okay?
Yes.
I mean, you know, exercise might be your panacea, and reading a book or exploring, you know, a new world might be yours. You know, so whatever works for you. Gosh, time flies. I mean, we have less than 2 minutes. And, you know, I had so many more questions I wanted to ask you. But in looking at stress and pressure in this last minute and a half, are there things that you would even say to your teachers that may help them to understand just the level of stress that you're experiencing and things that they may do? I mean, is there something even in the curriculum that you might suggest may be pursued? Because you do have a lot of stress. I mean, and stress can lead to negative things if it's not addressed.
I think I would tell my teachers that that they should be mindful of how much work that they're shelling out to us, and that we, like I said before, like we still are human beings and we still want to do things that teenagers do, like go to the movies and surround ourselves with friends. Mm-hmm. And they have to be mindful of that and to distribute homework, or aka stress, in that order of fashion.
Okay. Well, I am just about out of time, so I'll have to have you all come back and we'll have to talk about it more. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.